Brother Eric John Phillips, welcome to the broadcast here at 24/7 World Radio Podcast on this August 24th, 2004, which is a Saturday today. Beautiful weather here in Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, and the Lord has laid upon my heart to preach a message and in conjunction with what Satan is doing with the Democratic National Convention. I call it the DNCNE, where it's a medical procedure whereby a physician scrapes the uterus. But then the DNCNE, the evacuation, that's an abortion. Okay. And I know certain nuns that refuse to participate in a DNCNE, which is the evacuation being an abortion. Well, that whole Democratic National Convention was an abortion. It was scraping the bottom of the barrel for the most despicable black leaders they could find, including Al Sharpton and a few others that hate all white people in general and are supposed to be agitators, being black Freemasons, Prince Hall Wright Freemasons, and are paving the way for the success of the establishment of the new right, which has been the goal of the Jesuits since they took this country on March 9, 1933 with FDR. They imposed communism then, but the end game of communism in historic white Protestant nations, when communism is put upon white Protestant nations, the end result is fascism, quasi-fascism. And under quasi-fascism, which is completely Roman, completely Jesuitical, they target primarily the Protestants and the Jews for extermination. And that is what's coming here for America. The extermination of the apostate Protestants. Most of their churches are dead, maybe even uninhabited anymore. And nearly 7 million Jews between the United States and Canada. This is their big target. And if they can mobilize the people to blame the Jews for what the Jesuits have done, like this war in Gaza, then they can turn a whole people against the Jews, and thereby Satan knows that the Lord must impose, the risen Son of God, must impose his curse of the Abrahamic covenant of Genesis 15, Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 17. And he must curse this place when the people follow a leader that will blame the Jews for what the Jesuits have done. This is exactly what Adolf Hitler did in Germany. But remember, Hitler doesn't come to power without the help of FDR. Hitler doesn't come to power without the help of Joseph Stalin. Hitler doesn't come to power without the help of Winston Churchill. And the book I recommend concerning that relationship between Churchill and Hitler was titled Hitler Was a British Agent by Greg Hallett. Hitler Was a British Agent by Greg Hallett. Folks, they all work together. Communism, socialist communism, facilitates the rise of socialist fascism, and when the devil is done using his socialist fascist executioners, he puts the place back under socialist communism. Which is exactly what was done in Germany. Which is exactly what's being done here in America. The imposition of anti-white socialist communism so that new right fascism will be justified in its rise to power to punish all these lawless perverts that now occupy the Democratic Party, which is in fact the Communist Party. Because remember, Gus Hall years ago, who was a communist leader, said, we're no longer going to run a communist party in the elections because the Democratic Party fulfills all of our requirements for communism. The Democratic Party is the Communist Party. Now, we shall start out with 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Therefore, beginning with verse 1 through 4, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, As we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of darkness, of dishonesty, pardon me, and not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, that's the gospel of 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, he was buried and rose again, and having believed that gospel, we're saved by the grace of God, not by any works that we should boast about, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. That's the gospel that he says, if our gospel, if our good news be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image, the outward manifestation of God, should shine unto them. So we see here that the gospel is the means of salvation, but there are those whom Satan has blinded the minds to it. Every unsaved man has blinded mind to the gospel until the Lord begins to work on him, get the gospel to him, and they can still believe the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Even though Satan has blinded their minds, they are still able to believe the gospel. Otherwise, God wouldn't hold them accountable for not believing the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But Satan has blinded the minds of those who believe not. They will not believe. And so therefore, since they will not believe, they cannot believe. And they cannot believe in that Satan has blinded their minds. So there is a progression of depravity and of judgment when the gospel has gotten to somebody and they just say no. Because all men have the ability to believe. I don't care what these hyper-Calvinists have to say. Christ said, ye cannot come to me. You will not because ye cannot. You know why they cannot? Because they will not. And so, since they will not believe, the Lord permits Satan to blind them. This is when the gospel falls on stony ground, and the birds, the fowls of the air, take the seed. And Christ later explains that. They take the seed and it has no root. So, Satan has blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Satan is the god of this world. He rules by permission of the risen Son of God, who is in fact the direct ruler of the world. Satan is an indirect ruler. The Lord uses Satan to rule Satan's mystery of iniquity and then to use the mystery of iniquity to fulfill Christ's mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Greater is the mystery of godliness. God, Theos, was manifested in the flesh. And all your corrupt versions have who or he or some perversion because they've tampered with the underlying Greek word for God, Theos, and removed the first two letters, theta and epsilon, and so all we have is omicron and sigma, and hos, he was manifest in the flesh, or who is manifest in the flesh. They've corrupted the underlying Greek text, and Dean John Bergen of the Bergen, Gene of Chichester in the 1880s, in his great work, The Revision Revised, showed that this was a perversion of Westcott and Hort and the Revision Committee, that they tampered with that word theos in 1 Timothy 3:16. And so now that's why all your Protestant churches are apostate, because they all use this tampered Greek text. And therefore the translations are all not really translations of the Word of God. And that's where all your Protestant churches and Baptist churches are for the most part today. Is it any wonder it's not a Christian nation anymore? Is it any wonder why the Constitution is unfit for all these unbelievers? Only thing fit for them is a military dictator. Or some tribal chief. So what we have here is we have Satan as the god of this world, and he gives the rulership to whomsoever he wills, even after the resurrection of Christ, as the Lord permits it. Because remember, anything that happens comes by way of Christ, causing it or permitting it, or in answer to the prayers of his people. So, what's that have to do with the Democratic National Convention? Well, much in every way. First of all, it was held in a completely and totally Jesuit-controlled city of Chicago. Chicago is at least 50% black. And most of the whites in Chicago are Roman Catholic, Italians, Irish, Polish, whatever. So you live, there's a white Roman Catholic and black population of Chicago that is the perfect city to have the Socialist Communist Democratic National Convention. You have Loyola University in Chicago, probably the second most influential Loyola, the first most influential Loyola University in the country. Remember, there's four of them. There's a Loyola in New Orleans, a Loyola in Baltimore, a Loyola in Los Angeles, and a Loyola in Chicago. The most important is in Chicago. Chicago is the second most important commercial city in the country. And so we're going to have the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. In Chicago, which is more than 50% black. And so now, they're going to have their DNC&E convention there, and they're going to scrape the bottom of the bucket for the most despicable blacks they can find, like Oprah Winfrey. What a despicable witch she is. And all these white women making her a multi-billionaire, being on her program when she hates white people. It's always about race when she talks, and yet she acts like she's white. She has straight hair of a white. Well, she's a billionaire, like certain whites at the top. She runs with these white leftist socialist communists. She runs with the liberal Eastern establishment, liberal Northeastern establishment, liberal Eastern establishment, as we're called by the Birch Society. So they had that despicable witch on there. But they didn't have Joy, what was her last name? They didn't have Joy Reid on there. Now, she is another despicable black wench that hates white people and very verbal about it, especially when she was on MSNBC. But she was removed. And just recently, maybe say a month or two ago, after the bogus assassination attempt of Trump, because as I preached previously, it was completely and totally a faked assassination attempt, which is now easily provable by many people. Even John Rappaport is saying this. I like John. And Joy Reid came out and said the same thing. She said the assassination was faked. It was not a legitimate assassination attempt. And they didn't have Joy Reid speak at the Democratic National Convention, did they? Because Joy Reid, as vicious and as communistic and as hating white people as she is, told the truth about the faked assassination attempt of Donald Trump. Another thing we want to realize here is that there was not one white, because the speakers at the Democratic National Convention were minority whites and majority blacks. I watched the whole thing for 4 days. And so, what we have here is that not one of these speakers at the Democratic National Convention, black or white, or Asian, or Hispanic, or whatever, came out and said that the attempted assassination of Trump was a fake. Not one. Not even Al Sharpton, that vicious, racist bigot, Prince Hall Wright Freemason, under orders of the Pope of Rome, to ceaselessly agitate for his entire, totally depraved life. Even he doesn't say that the Trump assassination was faked. that shows you the power of the Jesuit order, or these blacks, over these token blacks who were secret society members, Prince Hall, right, and whatever, that would never tell the truth for the benefit of their own black people. This is why Malcolm X attacked the Democratic Party. He said it's the most vicious, evil party run by white liberals. Malcolm X would not be a member of this Democratic Party that you see there today. Never. I have his whole speech on my website. You can listen to it. It's about a 7-minute speech. Classic. Because these Tobies, these black sinners, touting black supremacy and everything they do, would never tell you about the white power structure they work for, and would never tell you that they were ordered to keep silence about the faked Trump assassination attempt. And that's all the entertainers, you name it, including Barry Davis Obama, and including his wife, who many believe is a man. I must confess, I don't believe that. I was looking at her physique. She has thin wrists, thin arms, thin forearms. She doesn't have the physique of a man, I don't believe, so. I mean, I might be wrong, but I don't believe she's a man. I believe she's a she and Michael, she and Barry. And they also built this Michael myth. They helped to build that myth. Michelle helped to build that myth. And so did Barry. It's just another agitation. It's a further agitation against for white people to get angry about. And it's succeeded. We played into their hands. So anyway, with these speeches that they most eruditely gave as they read those speeches, and maybe Michelle was not so much of a reader, but they gave these speeches, and of course, they have so much money and so much free time. All they have time to do is lay around and practice giving speeches and practice for what they're going to be used for by the Pope's white power structure overseen by the black Pope, Arturo Sosa. So even with all these speeches and these majority black leaders and these majority black entertainers with the Democratic National Convention, not one word was said about the fake Trump assassination attempt. So now, this leads me into analyzing the group that was there in Chicago. What were they composed of? Well, in the past, I've taught you about the Jesuit Order's six-sided enemy for the New Right. The six-sided enemy for the New Right. And they are as follows. The first major enemy set up by the Jesuit Order against the whites are the majority savage blacks, as I have preached about and against for over 20 years. The average black man and the average black woman hates white people. I'm 70. I lived through the civil rights movement. I know. I experienced it. I experienced much black on white crime, me being a victim. I know all about it. Nobody has to tell me anything. So what they've done is they've incited these blacks to hate white people in general and the mulattoes. The blacks and the mulattoes, especially the mulattoes, because they use their white man's brain, which is superior to the black man's brain in intellectual capacity. They use the white man's brain in the black man's body against the white people, and it's a judgment of God for race mixing and miscegenating with blacks. Every mulatto you will meet, except very few exceptions, will be very much anti-white and use their intellectual capacities that they got from their white parent against us. So, they've set up the blacks, and you have everywhere from the W.E.B. Du Bois NAACP. That was set up by white men. W.E.B. Du Bois was a mulatto. And so we're going to, and it was Masonic. He was Prince Hall Wright Freemason. So it's Masonic, it's black. It's going to be used for an agitation just like the Black Nation of Islam with Louis Farrakhan, Prince Hall Wright Freemason, and others, to agitate anti-white agitation to commit crime against whites, and I say that on the average, the majority savage blacks kill 10 white people a day, and they rape at least 100 white women a day in this empire. And that can be proven, but it can't be talked about, because if you say those kinds of things, man, you've got to be some kind of a bigot. It's true. The Pope's press is not allowed to report black-on-white crime in this country. They refuse to allow it. They will say you're a sexist and a bigot if you do such a thing. How can that be true when you're merely reporting facts? Because they have a design to further weaken and outrage the white people of this country, to drive them into the new right, where their manhood has been decreased, rebuffed, and beaten down for the last 80 years since the original civil rights movement started in the 1930s, with the Jesuit John Lafarge, who led the civil rights movement beginning in the 30s. So, the first enemy are the majority savage blacks, to the exclusion of the minority civil blacks, most of whom are Christian people, who don't hate white people. But they dare not say they don't hate white people, or they'll be called Uncle Toms. They'll be called Oreo Cracker, black on the outside, white on the inside. I've seen it. I watched it when I was stationed in Germany. Any black men that refused to join those savage blacks in the Air Force and the Army, they were called Oreo Cookies and Toby and Token Nigga. That's right, by their own people. That's what they called them. And the two black men that I hung around with quite a bit were Bible-believing, born-again Baptist men, and they had been working in the fields in the South, and they were buffed, and none of these savage blacks would give them any lip because Chuck and Steve would make short order of them. And they were good, godly Christian men, Chuck Davis and Steve Palmer. Never forget them. So these minority civil blacks, they're in trouble because they're going to be round, they're going to be treated as all these majority savage blacks. That's why I've always said that these blacks have to say, wait a second, we have to start a group that says we don't hate white people. We know that slavery, we were better off as slaves in the South than we were in savages in Africa. I was just reading Nathan Bedford Forrest. He said, I taught him how to eat cooked meat rather than eating bugs. I'm not saying there wasn't any dishonorable things done to the blacks by certain whites. But the whites in general in the South, particularly the Protestants, treated them well, treated them as their protectors. And any white man that would touch a black slave of another white man would get his brains beaten in. They protected their servants. But anyway, that's another topic. But they have to tell these lies that all that ever happened was the white men were raping the black women, and they were whipping with the whips, all these men, putting marks on their backs. They constantly parade that picture in front of us that took place in Roman Catholic New Orleans, so as to unite the blacks in the anti-white socialist communist movement that is necessary for the establishment of the new right. That's why the Jesuits were backed in the civil rights movement from the beginning. That's why Theodore Herzberg was an author of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So we have the blacks. This is the first enemy. That means Black Lives Matter. That's part of that stuff. Black Lives Matter, the Nation of Islam, you name it. All these black organizations, the Black Panthers that had a Jesuit priest that coached in the beginning. I mean, they're all run by the papacy. And these blacks are too racist and hateful to white people to realize they're being used as suckers because they're going to be rounded up and sent to camps. That's where they're going. That's why Hillary Clinton said we need to make these black males heal. That's what Clinton said. Why do you think we have 600 concentration camps, FEMA camps, in this country? You think they're not going to be used? And you think the blacks aren't going there? Remember the whole Iran-Contra affair where somebody said there in that affair, that investigation, that the camps are for 21 million American Negroes? Remember that? These blacks are doomed in this country. Unfortunately, the civil blacks are just as much slated for destruction as the majority savage blacks, because these civil blacks did not do their duty in standing up to the majority savage blacks and say, hold that right now, you're a liar. Because they're afraid they're going to get killed. The next body that the Jesuits are planning on their destruction here are the Jews. Now, with the Democratic National Convention, you see that all-star cast that's giving all their comments and what they think is happening there. And of course, you got that hateful racist Van Jones. He's about as a hateful racist a black man you ever want to meet. And yet he has those Nis Pierce glasses, and he looks so intellectual and accomplished. He is full of hate and hatred for white men, hatred for white leaders, hatred for white people that want to be married, hateful for white people that own guns, hateful for white people that own a King James Bible, hateful to the middle class that built this place, established it, and built it when they were Protestants and Baptists and Calvinistic. And so as a result, he hates white people. Van Jones. And you got that white Toby there, who is somewhat against what's being discussed at that. I forget what his name is, but he's still a part of it. Still a little bit of an agitation. Of course, there's some playoff with both him and Van Jones. They're touching each other's shoulder and seeking to address their supremacy one over another. And then you have David Axelrod, the Jew. The lying socialist communist Jew mentor of Barry Davis Obama, who was also mentored by the Jesuit Greg Galuzzo when Obama started his Gamaliel Foundation, when he was in that. Tutored by a Jesuit in Chicago, Greg Galuzzo. And so we have David Axelrod, he's a Jew, promoting this extremism. So here now you have all these Jews, for the most part, that are in the Democratic Party. I met a Jew one time when I was in Chicago. I was speaking there, and I said, tell me, why did you guys vote for Obama? Why did you Jews vote for Obama? He said, I shouldn't have. I'm sorry I did. Well, are you ever going to denounce that you did? Are you ever going to make it public? Because if you Jews don't come out and start saying, wait a second, being in the Democratic Party is going to be our undoing because we're linked with all this communism, and when the new right comes to power, they're going to round us up too. Well, see, that would take courage. And these Jews don't have that courage. Because they're pagans. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate the Bible. They hate their own... posterity, they hate their own glorious Abrahamic covenant, Davidic covenant, and so on. I remember a Jew said one time, he said, I wish God would give us a break and choose somebody else as his chosen people. Blasphemy. So the Jews are the second target, because there's six of them. First the blacks, then the Jews, and then the next target are going to be the white communists, which composes the liberal Eastern establishment. That's Antifa. All those brainwashed socialist communist white men, white women there. That's Antifa, the liberal Eastern establishment. Don't want any gun ownership. Well, you know what? That's out of New York. Then if you don't want gun ownership there, you can be subject to all the black on white crime and Hispanic on white crime. Just go ahead, have at it. It doesn't bother me in the least. You decided to give away your guns and not have them. Good, you can be a target. Reap what you sow. So you have the white communists, which was completely denounced by Malcolm X. The only black leader of that era that I have any respect for. So that's number three. Number four, you have the Muslims. Why do you think the white power structure run by the Pope brought all these Muslims in here into primarily white Protestant neighborhoods? They brought them into Minneapolis, the three cities, Minneapolis, Minnesota. What was that? White Protestant Lutheran, but it was apostate because it departed from the Reformation Luther Bible. Or the Reformation King James Bible. And assault that doesn't have any savers, no good. They are not truly saved. They're just nominal Protestants. And so God's given the place over and sent a bunch of Muslims in there from that filthy crap hole of Somalia. And then you got a representative out of that place to go to Congress that hates white people, that hates non-Muslims, that hates the Jews, and that hates the people living in Israel. Although the government of Israel is run by the Pope, just like this government here in District of Columbia is run by the Pope. That's why Congress gives all this money to Israel, $3 billion a year? They give three times that amount to Arab countries, by the way, that are also controlled by the Pope through Freemasonry, as is Israel controlled by Freemasonry, or I should say the leaders of it. Benjamin Netanyahu's one, high-level Jewish Freemasonry, doing what the Pope tells them to do. So now we have these white communists. We got the Muslims, that's four. The blacks, the Jews, the white communists, Democrats, the Muslims. Why would a Muslim want to come here anyway? Because they're hypocrites. They like the high standard of living, but they hate the Bible and they hate Christian people because they want to live by their Sharia law. Live by your Sharia law in Somalia and live happily ever after, you hypocrites. Same way with you in Arabia, you hypocrites. Why would you come here? Because you like the white women. You like the food. You like the ability to go shopping. You like the ability to rent all of Disney World for a whole day, which is what the leader of Saudi Arabia, the king of Saudi Arabia, did. Mm-hmm. For the whole day. They get the white, historically white Protestant nations to build Arabia or Saudi Arabia. Remember, the Saudis are Wahhabis. They're the most extreme, hateful, racist bigots that you've ever met in your life. But we're going to allow them to come here. We're going to allow them to settle here. What, one quarter of the debt signed off for by Saudi Arabia, like we owe Arabia something for that? So they brought these Muslims here. They brought Muslims into, I believe it was Nashville, Tennessee. Nashville's a historic white Protestant and Baptist town. They brought in all their Muslims from Africa and wherever and other nations into the historically white areas of the United States. That's why. Because it's the Jesuit order's counter-reformation to destroy the Protestant Reformation, using their tool, Sunni Islam, as well as the Shia. Although the Shia and the Sunnis are enemies, I would love to... I had a dialogue going with some Shia years ago. And they were completely against the Sunnis. And they thanked me for my preaching because in their group that they, Ummah, that they were listening to me on this as I denounced the papacy and their Sunni Muslims controlled by the Pope. As well as the leadership of Shia Iran, because the Shia can't stand the Sunnis. But yet they took over the government there and now have given Iran the name of hating all the Jews, and going to have Hamas, and we're going to have Hezbollah and other these places being financed by Iran. It's the government of Iran that works for the Pope and not the people of Iran. So, we have the blacks, the Jews, the white leftist, socialist, communists, the liberal Eastern establishment, the Muslims, and now we have our fifth target, the alien invaders that are Roman Catholic Hispanics, as well as others, like Chinese. These are the invaders that have been allowed to come in here since the days of Ronald Reagan, when he gave all those spiritual bastards amnesty so they could stay here. The dreamers. What do you mean, dreamers? I'm a dreamer that my country might be greater and that I can excel. They're foreigners. They're aliens. They were brought here when they were children. And the right thing to do is, from what they've been taught, they can go back to their country and make a better country out of it. I don't want them here. I don't want anybody in this country that has not come here legally through formal immigration. I had a couple that came to one of my classes, my private citizenship classes. They were from Mexico. They were a dear couple. He told me, Eric, he said it took us 10 years to finally become citizens the legal way. I said, what do you think about all these alien Hispanics coming in here illegally? He says, we can't stand it. And we get lumped in with them when we came here legally. That's right. So they are the target because they're going to be rounded up too. All these blacks are going to be rounded up. These Jews are going to be rounded up. These white communists are going to be rounded up. These Muslims are going to be rounded up. These alien invaders, Roman Catholic invaders, a fifth column, they're going to be rounded up, all these illegal Hispanics here. And then last but not least, they're going to be rounding up all the homosexual, lesbian, sodomites, and they're going to the camps. Remember, the first people Hitler brought to the camps were the communists, and the second ones he brought were the homosexuals, even though he was a homosexual. Get the book, The Real Hitler, by Lochner Mathen. Lochner Mathen. And he writes the book, he's a German, and he wrote the book, The Real Hitler, and showed he was a sodomite. Or you get the book, I Was Hitler's Doctor, by Kurt Kruger. He tells you Hitler was a homosexual. Homosexuals kill their own people. And some of the most brutal murders you will ever see are homosexual murders. These people are violent. And they're not friendly. And they don't build culture. And most of them are rich because they're not spending money on children to try to get them raised and give some braces to them or give them an education. And they have wealthy. They have a lot of money. Right downtown here in Schaeferstown, Pennsylvania, here, there's a couple, a homosexual white couple that moved into the most beautiful house on Main Street there in Schaeferstown. It's a beautiful place, a big old brick place. Homosexual. They have money. Moving in, taking over the politics, make the politics pro-sodomite. And I think, if I remember, there was two cities in the Old Testament that were destroyed for sodomy. Men with men working that which is unseemly, Romans chapter 1. They've gone after strange flesh, the book of Jude. There's four kinds of flesh in the scripture, birds, mammals, men, and fish. They went after strange flesh. They were having sex with animals. And by the way, that's the next stage after homosexuality. Then it's bestiality. Yeah. Awful. And so when it gets to this place that we have right now, these six-sided enemies for the whites in this country, they all go to the Democratic Party. I'd say at least half of the speakers, probably two-thirds of the Democratic National Convention, were all black. And they were leftists. And you got these white Republicans that spoke. One of them was, of course, he is a rhino. Don't like the Republican Party anymore because it's not rhino. Rhino Republicans are Democrats. They're socialist communists. Come on. And so rather than instead in doing away with the center party as was done in Germany to start the Nazi Party, they just morphed the Republican Party into a quasi-Nazi party with legitimate reasons. Look what these people have done. They attack Republicans when they're in a restaurant like Huckabee's daughter. What a disgrace. It's a good thing that some men weren't there because they'd have pulled their guns and shot the bastards. That's what they deserve. You attack me when I eat out, the knives are coming out, the guns are coming out. And somebody's going to die. And when they know that, then they're not going to do it. You have a much more civil culture when people are armed. That's right. An armed populace is a pleasant populace, is a peaceful populace. Yeah. That's the testimony of gun ownership. Take the guns and it becomes savage, wild, and the government has all power once you take the guns from the common people. And so, by the way, you have this alien, horrible, terrible Democratic Party that advocates gun confiscation. We need to have our schools safe. You want the schools safe? What you do is you arm the teachers, and nobody. And if anybody goes in the school that starts shooting, you immediately shoot them, and then you string them up, let them up there so everybody can see it for a day. So everybody gets to see if you go in there and you're not part of a government op, like Sandy Hook was a government op, and Columbine was a government op. Conspiracy? Of course it's a conspiracy. Wake up! No, they want to use those conspiracies as a justification to disarm you. And any government that wants to disarm you wants to kill you. And that's what these Democrats want to do. They want to kill you, boy, white boy. And anybody else who believes the Bible and wants to stay armed? So here's this six-sided enemy. All represented in the Democratic Party. So now the Jesuits have successfully divided the population on the basis of race, primarily. The Democratic Party, with all of its perverts, is black. The Republican Party, which is generally middle class, normal people that get married and have children and families, they've been driven into the Republican Party. So it's a division between the amoral Democratic Party and the moral people of the Republican Party. Because in January 6th, they weren't planning on raiding the Capitol. That was encouraged by the CIA handlers there, and the Capitol Police stood down. Right, Chucky Schumer, you lying Masonic Jew bastard? And I mean bastard, Hebrews 12. He's not a child of God. He's a bastard. He's not a son. Just another Jew bastard, hating God, hating Jesus Christ, hating the Constitution, hating the Bible, hating Protestants and Baptists, when we have been the greatest protectors of the Jews during their diaspora for the last 2,000 years. It's happened primarily in historic white Protestant nations of Germany, Denmark, England, Scotland, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, America, Canada, all these historic white Protestant nations protected the Jews, and we didn't persecute them until some Roman Catholic Austrian took over Germany. So, they've got everybody divided now. They've got the two camps in place, and the Jesuits control the leaders of both camps. They control Trump of the Republican camp. That's why they faked his assassination, to create more sympathy for him. And now he's what? Bulletproof. The bulletproof Donald Trump. Other, it's just such an horrible, terrible. It would be funny if it wasn't so tragic. And the Democratic Party served their purpose. They've been so radical, so hatefully, so racist. I got the right to kill my baby. That's right. Under the title of choice, I can kill that baby in me. And then we can dice up the pieces and sell them off to the black market and make all kinds of money. That's what's being done. I have a lady friend in Boca Raton, in Louisiana. It's not New Orleans, but it's another place, Baton Rouge. She went and she picketed this abortion clinic, and she said all the women there were blacks. Yeah, that's what Susan said. All the women there were black. Susan's white lady. She was an attorney, very well-spoken, lovely Christian lady. And she's turned to these black women and said, where's all the white girls getting their abortions? You're getting the abortions, but I don't see any white people in line out here. And then she said, some of them started to think. Yeah, started to think a little bit. They're using abortion to kill down primarily the white population, but also the black population. And the shedding of innocent blood always comes back to you. Always. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So now we have the two parties. Now the country is divided. On one side, the blacks, and the others with the Democratic Party. And the other side, the whites with the others and the Republican Party. And now we need an incident. Now we need something to happen. Well, here is what I maintain they're going to do. If I was the Jesuit general and I had everything so divided now, because I control the press, I control the leftist press and the rightist press. It's all Catholic and Jew, all leftist, socialist, communist, and now Hispanic. They're all leftists. You don't have any conservative Spanish people. If God forbid, we should have that. So now we have control of the press, we have control of the narrative, that's what they call it. Control of the conversation. We need a conversation. No, we don't. We need a debate with the facts. I don't want a conversation. And I don't want to be safe. I want to be right. Men who are men don't care about being safe. They care about being right. And if being right means you're going to be unsafe, then so be it. The women, all these women want to be safe. I want to be safe. When you have a country ruled by women, it's under judgment, according to Isaiah. When women and children are running a country, it's under national judgment. I see all these women and all these Democratic Party, and they're all talking like they have some authority. Get down, woman! Do what you're supposed to do. Get submissive. Find some man you can follow. But don't you dare take the lead. When you take the lead, you bring the wrath of God on this place. And that's what these white women have done here. These dog women. They'd rather have a dog than a man. They give more attention to their dog than to their husband. What a disgrace. You white women, you white feminazis. And you deserve the new right, because they're going to round you lesbians up. They're going to round you feminists up. You feminazis are going to the camps. It's going to be God's judgment on this six-sided group of people. And he's going to use an evil neo-Nazi, quasi-fascist group to do it. And after he uses that group to do it, then he'll punish them with foreign invaders. Exactly as he did with Germany. He used the white Nazi party to punish the homosexuals, the Jews, there were some blacks in Germany, the communists, the gypsies, rounded them all up, sent them to camps, and when the Lord was finished using them to that end, then he finished off those men who did it. It was a destruction of German manhood, an entire white German manhood totally destroyed because they gave themselves over to obey this evil, wicked Nazi party after they had already departed from the Bible, the Reformation Bible. And so it was a second 30 years war for the destruction of historic white Protestant Germany. And it's going to be the same thing here. God often uses evil men to punish evil men. And that's what he's going to do here. So, we have... Now we're going to evaluate a little bit what I believe they're going to do. So everything's in place. The Jesuits, with their Roman hierarchy, are in complete control of America. Its political parties, its press, its military, its religious different denominations, and the Muslim leaders, the black leaders, the Jewish leaders, they're all totally controlled by the Jesuits through a host of secret societies, and there are approximately 800 secret societies in the world that they control. I understand Mr. Vance is Skull and Bones. Trump, 33rd degree Freemason. Biden was Knight of Columbus. Harris is an Eastern Star. I mean, all these sinners are busy serving the Jesuit order through their secret societies and conning us. So here's what I believe is going to happen. As America is under national judgment for its sins, for its spreading of communism around the world, which includes all the murder, which in the 20th century was 175 million people, communism killed in China, the Far East, Russia, you name it. All at the behest and direction of the Jesuits running District of Columbia. Without District of Columbia, there is no international communism foisted on all these nations. So, I believe what's going to happen is the Jesuits have chosen the weakest, most despicable candidate to run for president of the Democratic Party. I mean, I saw a black guy at the Democratic National Convention, very fit, well-spoken. I think he was he's a Marine. I think he was the governor of Delaware, if my memory serves me well. Well-spoken. Why didn't they choose him? He's about 1,000 times better than Harris. Why didn't they choose him? Because they had to do their D&CNE, their scraping of the uterus to get to ultimately have their abortion, their evacuation of Kamala Harris. And God forbid any men should really be in charge. God forbid. Got to have the women in charge. That's, we're supposed to rejoice about that. So I believe that they're going to put Trump in office. He's the strong man. He's the great white hope. While the white people are being played for suckers, we are the real suckers. They're going to put him in office because there's no election. Collier and Collier, vote scam. There hasn't been an election since 1964, maybe earlier. So they've selected him. There will be a selection. He's selected to be president. When that happens, there probably will be some local rioting or whatever, but that will be calmed down until after his inauguration. And once he's inaugurated on the 20th Amendment's January 20th for the inauguration of the Commander-in-Chief and not the President, when the President's inaugurated on March 4th, that was changed in 1933 with the 20th Amendment so that, hey, We're now going to inaugurate Hail to the Chief, Commander-in-Chief, and he is going to be our leader, our fearless leader. Last man to be inaugurated on March 4th was the first term of Franklin Dandable Roosevelt, America's greatest communist president, and 32nd degree Freemason, and overseen by the Jesuit of Georgetown, namely Edmund A. Walsh, Jesuit, not a Malta. Jesuitism, communism, synonymous. So, once Trump is inaugurated, then the riots will be starting. The order will come down from the Pope to the various Jesuit provincials in America, the four that are here now. There are four Jesuit provincials, and to the and ultimately to the archbishops and bishops running the Roman hierarchy in this country, and they will oversee their secret societies, like the Nation of Islam and others, and Antifa, and Black Lives Matter. And through this invisible order, the cities will start to be truly attacked. And Trump will save the day, which is what all his constituents want, the white people, namely middle class, have built the place. He's going to come in, he's going to save the day, he's going to round them all up with the military, and they're going to send them to camps. This will be the inauguration of the opening of the FEMA death camps, of which Oliver North spoke about, and that congressman from Texas talked about these death camps, these FEMA camps, and Oliver North moved for an executive session. That Daniel Inouye, that Hawaiian traitor, moved for an executive session because it's a highly secretive and highly sensitive. Yeah, it's highly sensitive in suspending the Constitution that Jack Brooks pointed out from Texas, and it's highly sensitive to impose martial law, and highly sensitive to open the camps, and highly sensitive to round up 21 million American Negroes. Of course, the black population in this country is at least 25%, maybe 30% of the population. It's no 12%. Don't let anybody tell you that jazz. So he's going to impose martial law, and everybody will be happy for it. Even the blacks in their ghettos, in their slums, I should say. You realize a ghetto is just a consolidation of people of a same race or a same economic structure. You realize Hollywood's a ghetto, but it's not a slum. So all these blacks in their slums with all this crime everywhere and black-on-black crime everywhere will welcome martial law. Fools! And the camps are going to be filled. And there's a camp up in Alaska, a FEMA camp of 1 million acres just outside of Anchorage, so that when the trains are going north out of the Midwest and out of California, when they round up all these California blacks, Jews, white communists, Muslims, alien invaders, and homosexuals, as they're rounding them up out of California, they're taking them right up through Oregon into Washington State and right into the camps just north over the line into Alaska to Anchorage to the Million Acre Death Camp. That's going to be American Auschwitz. Auschwitz is already in place, waiting to go to work. And there they are going to exterminate these people. Massive extermination. And nobody's going to do anything about it, of any power, of any wealth. Because the men, the white men of power and wealth, as well as the blacks of power and wealth, they're in on it. They want it. They want to reduce this population by at least 150 to 200 million people in the next 10 to 15 years. Well, it's going to happen. Everything's a go. Game over, as Obama would say, as Barry Davis would say. And then about this time, when martial law is called out and the roundups begin, I believe there will be a detonation in several cities in this country. And the book you want to read about this on this is called Endgame by Vallalee and one other American general. And they say in that book, Endgame, that there are going to be detonations in 10 American cities. And they're going to be blamed on the Chinese, or blamed on the North Koreans, or blamed on the Muslims. The CIA and the NSA boys and the men of power have set those bombs. They're already in place. And all they have to do is trigger them when the sun's in the right harmonic relationship to the device. And when that happens, they will detonate them. One for surety in L.A. and the other for surety in District of Columbia. So the Capitol can be moved to Denver in the middle of the country with the mountain there. Everything deep underground, military bases, so they can orchestrate the war to the loss of the American people in the end. We're going to have a two-front war. There'll be a front war in the Middle East. That's why they sent, just recently, 6,000 American Marines to Israel. They're anticipating the war. They got a great big American air base there. Barry Chambers wrote about it in one of his books. I have the pictures of it. Deep underground American base in Israel. Planning for the war, for the destruction of the mosques and the Temple Mount, Dome of the Rock, Alaska Mosque, for the rebuilding or for the building of the Third Hebrew Temple. That's why there has to be a war in the Middle East. And a lot of American men are going to die there, and some women too, I would imagine. That'll be a place of sacrifice for the evil and for the immoral American young men of this country. The Lord sending them off to die. Remember, war is punishment for sin in this life, and hell, the lake of fire, is punishment for the next, for sin. Since we would not receive the sin bearer, since we would not receive his payment for our sins, then we can suffer for them. Yeah. Two-front war. Middle East and the Far East into China. They're already planning it. I have a student whose son is a pilot in the Navy, and they paid him quite a bit of money to re-up because he's a pilot and he knows the South China Sea like the back of his hand, because he said war is coming with China in 2 to 3 years. Why wouldn't it? District of Columbia, District of Catholics and Communists, built the Red Chinese War Machine. They don't make any technology. Those Chinese don't invent things. They just take what we have and make it better after it's given to them by Bill Clinton. Get the book, You're the Rat. He gave our top technology to the Red Chinese so they can sink our aircraft carriers with their torpedo technology that was given to them. That's what all you young men are going to. You're going to get drafted. You're going to be sent off to a two-front war, and you're not coming back. You're going to be betrayed by the Pentagon, Miley, and all those other those sinners there that run the Pentagon, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and they will betray you to lose. The ships are going to be scuttled. They're going to be sunk after they kill certain targeted populations, and then cometh the invasion. And after America's invaded, it's going to be divided up, just as Germany was divided up. East Germany, West Germany. Even so, they'll do the same thing here. And that's when the murder also begins. That's when the rape will begin. You wait until this country is occupied by savage Turks, who are continually thinking about raping their nearest white woman they can find. And the same way with the Russian savages, just like they did to the German women and the Polish women during World War II. They raped some 8 million women, and they ripped them, that muscle that separates the anus from the vagina. 100,000 episiotomies had to be performed, sewing those poor German women up after they've been raped and raped and raped and raped. And that's what's coming here when these foreign armies get here. They're going to find anybody with a gun, they're going to put you to death. That's what the Democrats would like to do to you anyway. So in conclusion, this is Rome's design against us as dictated by Satan. I believe all these things are in place. Satan with the papacy has done this in the past, and he's going to do it again here. And all the dumbed down, stupefied American people will deserve it because they didn't take 5 minutes to ask some serious questions like, what's going on here? And what's the witness of testimony? Witness of history and testimony. Wouldn't ask those questions. They are incapable of responsible citizenship. Hence, they're incapable of real government, republican government with liberty. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And when the Spirit of the Lord is not there by way of his word and people who read it, there will be no liberty. Either or, black or white, win or lose, it's up to you. It's up to you how you choose. Well, I pray that you will choose today, my friend, to believe the gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the scripture, was buried and rose again, and upon believing that true gospel of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the Lord has promised he will save you according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, and seal you by his Spirit to the day of redemption, which is when Christ comes to receive us to himself. The beloved, blessed hope of the appearing. Some call it the rapture, but it's the appearing of Christ. Any moment. In conclusion, may we take these words to heart. I may be wrong on some of these points, but I don't think so overall. It's a witness of history. This is how the papacy does things. And Satan's been the god of the papacy ever since it became the papacy and ceased to be the Roman Empire. The Pope's the Caesar. College of Cardinals, the Roman Senate. And it's the same game. May God wake us up. May we start to do the right thing. May we denounce sin wherever we go. May we denounce any kind of personal sin. May we separate from sin, stay away from it, because it weakens us. The Lord will not use us, and hence, maybe even he'll kill us. We got to stay out of sin, folks. Brother Eric John Phelps, thank you for tuning in. I have a book, Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. Please go to my website, vaticanassassins.org. Purchase my ebook. Go to 24/7 World Radio. You can purchase my broadcast there. You can, in exchange for a gift, I will send you broadcasts for various years that I have up, some 11, 12 years now. But I need your prayers to be able to continue to do this. I need your financial help, so send your gifts to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. Or you can send, and you can give through rbpbdonate@comcast.net. which is PayPal, rbpbdonate@comcast.net. Or you can send some money to Cash App, Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S, Cash App. Love to have a gift from you there. However you want to give, I dearly appreciate it. And if you're unable to give, appreciate your prayers. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Amen. So, until we meet again, may the Lord bless you as you serve him according to his word. The AV 1611 Reformation English Bible.